Okay. So most of you already know the work I do, and Margie also knows as well. So, you know, my journey as a physician has just caused me to question a lot of things about healing, and it's just led me to explore many different philosophies and traditions. And attitudinal healing really came in my life. You know, it's funny how things come full circle. It was when I was still a medical student, and I found the Course in Miracles through books by Dr. Gerald Jampolsky, who is a psychiatrist, child and adult psychiatrist, who himself came to the Course in Miracles in the 1970s, and this really affected him. And in his work, he was looking for ways, you know, first of all, to heal himself, and then also to share with others. And the attitudinal healing is really derived from A Course in Miracles, but what it does is it's a very cross-cultural, universal way to look at the ideas. And so that's why I think it's been applied in, you know, there's like, they say, like, you know, how many different countries and six continents, and there's like 100 groups and all of that. So I think it's because of the language that's used. Everyone can kind of use bits and pieces of it to the degree that they're comfortable. So there are 12 principles of attitudinal healing, and my sort of vision was to just kind of share maybe one principle with every call, and just to kind of use that as something perhaps you can practice, you know, during the week and think about it and see how it, you know, gels for you. The principles are all related, and, you know, we're all probably coming from different backgrounds in terms of spiritual traditions, but, you know, I think we'll see that there's a universality to all of these principles. So the principle that I wanted to talk about today, it says, and I'm just going to read this, the essence of our being is love. Love cannot be hindered by what is merely physical. Therefore, we believe the mind has no limits, nothing is impossible, and all disease is potentially reversible, and because love is eternal, death not be viewed fearfully. So it's a pretty, you know, broad principle, but if you think about this, the essence of our being is love, and we were to just stay with that. This isn't so much like a positive affirmations, and that's not really in the spirit that I'm introducing it. It's more that, like the Course teaches this, that when you have something like this, the essence of our being is love, which means the essence of everyone's being is love, you know, our minds come up with all of the ideas of maybe the exceptions. Like, okay, we can see love, let's say, you know, in a newborn or a baby or, you know, the people that are close to us. But there are many times, even within ourselves or even, let's say, in those close to us, if they're not acting a certain way, you know, we don't feel love, or in ourselves we can't see love, or certainly in things happening in the world, you know, we might see situations where, you know, we're very convinced someone is wrong and someone is right and all of that. So it really is inviting us, it's challenging our worldview, and that's what attitudinal healing does, is that it really asks you to make a paradigm shift. And so one of the things that is really going to get in the way of understanding this, or even really, you know, having an experience of it, the essence of our being is love, is if we focus too much like on the body, or, you know, what the body is doing. And when I say the body, I mean even in ourselves, like if we look at, you know, what we should be doing in life, or a couple of you talked about career or things like that, if we start to identify with that, and that really starts to become a way we see ourselves in the world, then this idea is going to depend on certain markers of what we think external success or external achievement, or, you know, whatever it is, would look like. If we look at others, it'll be their behaviors. You know, ourselves, it could be our behaviors. And so you see how if you start to use the body or what the body does or what it says or how it moves or doesn't move or what it accomplishes or doesn't accomplish, then we can't be in this place that the essence of our being is love. And I wanted to share, I'm taking this from this book that Dr. Jampolsky wrote some while ago, Teach Only Love. He's also written something called Love is Letting Go of Fear, which is, you know, a pretty famous book written in the 70s. He gives this example of this young girl that he was working with, a 23-year-old woman who had an issue with her eyes. And she had this disorder called retrolental fibroplasia, which is basically it's an accumulation of scar tissue behind the retina, and it can eventually cause blindness or at least give you very severely limited vision. And this was in the 70s or so that this woman was in her 20s. And at that time, so she would probably have been born in the 50s, like when premature babies were born, they were put into these high-pressure oxygen tanks, and people didn't realize that that oxygen could be damaging to the eyes. So it's thought that that's where her disease came from. And as she got older, even though she managed to go through regular schools with, you know, a lot of help and assistance and all of that stuff, her vision kept getting worse and worse. And she basically, you know, was declared legally blind and had a seeing eye dog and all of that. But she had a tough spirit, so she managed to get through college and all of that. But she also had a lot of grievances, you can imagine, to the doctors for doing this, you know, to God and, you know, to all of that. All of that was a big part of her experience. Somehow she got connected with what Jerry Jampolsky was offering and began to participate in his group. And she began to apply these ideas of healing the mind, of like this idea of, so this is what, it's a beautiful example, because when we think about the essence of our being is love, and if we focus on the physical eyes and what the physical eyes report, it's going to be really difficult. And so it's really this inner vision, this inner spiritual vision that we're going for. And I think her example is perfect. Blind, right? Legally blind. But then she also has all of these grievances and these ideas. And so what she did is really apply herself to her mind and to making, you know, peace of mind her goal, to seeing this love, to wanting to see this love. And she would check in with Jerry and say, so do you think it would be possible for me to regain my sight? And he replied to her, and I'm quoting, anything is possible. You do not have to be a negative statistic on a probability curve of people with retrolental fibroplasia. And so it says here she began to work on positive mental pictures, to practice the peace of mind, peace of God. Like that became her single goal, practicing forgiveness, and then listening and being directed to by more of her inner voice. So she started to experience a forgiveness of God, of the universe, for the blindness. She felt her bitterness, you know, dissolve, and she started to experience more peace. She had had some associated pain with this condition, and those started to, you know, come down. And she said what she started to experience was that her attitude about herself began to shift. She had always thought of herself as a blind person, and she started to feel that she was normal. And around that time, her vision started to improve. So first, some of her day vision, you know, came back, although she still was blind, you know, very dependent at night. And then gradually that came back. And then sometime later, you know, I guess there was a time where she was in a separate place and wasn't in contact with Jerry Jampolsky, but she connected with him. And she said, she took her out driving. Like she had become, you know, she had healed to the point that her vision, you know, was good enough that she could, you know, get a driver's license. And he said that was like the happiest, you know, car ride he ever had, you know, because he had so much joy for what this woman was experiencing. So he writes here that, you know, this idea that judgment, any kind of judgment, makes us blind, and it's only love that really allows us to see. And he writes here that for him, this young woman helped him to understand, you know, when Jesus talked about, you know, in the Bible, this idea of vision, of seeing, that I have come into the world to give sight to those who are spiritually blind and to show those who think that they see that they're blind, that what we think is real isn't real, and what's really real we're not seeing. So to me, this was very powerful because these principles of attitudinal healing are not positive thinking. They're not positive affirmations. They're really inviting us to really be ready to see things with different eyes. And those eyes are like that, you know, inner vision. And it's not something we have to make ourselves do, but we can sort of practice just being open, like this young woman was, just open and just asking, you know, I want to see this differently. How can I see this in a different way? You know, this is saying the essence of our being is love. I don't feel this right now. I don't see this right now. You know, help me to see this, you know, asking of our inner guide. So it was really inspiring to me to read this. And I'm going to stop now with my part. I hope you heard some of it or most of it. I'm not sure how the sound will be. We'll see how that goes. But I'm going to just ask you to, you know, if you'd like to, you could reflect on what we shared or what I just shared or, you know, whatever you'd like to respond. It's a small group, so we can really take time. So feel free. Again, you can press *6, and that will unmute you. Actually, that will tell me that you want to ask a question, and then I can unmute you. Okay, let me just try to... Okay, did you guys hear me or no?
No.
I heard you.
You did, okay.
I hear you.
Seema?
The story that you told.
Oh, no, of course I heard.
You did hear the story, okay.
Yeah, I heard the story. I'm sorry. I heard the story, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Margie, I heard all
of
it.
Did you hear some of the story? Okay. Okay, good. Okay. Okay. Does anyone want to make a comment or anyone want to share about this idea of the essence of our being is love?
I wanted to make a comment, actually.
Yeah.
I wanted to make a comment about our being love, and also about the story, because most of the great philosophies in life and the Course of Miracles all say that the way your attitude is also a great influence on your health. And she had a health problem, and although it started when she was a child, it had gradually gotten worse. Because I think one of the reasons why was because her attitude got considerably worse as she went along, and I think that if she would have found Jim, what's his name, the psychiatrist earlier,
Sempolsky. Yeah,
she might not have got, and the course earlier, she might not have gotten to the point that she got to where she was considered legally blind. She would have changed her attitude, and slowly but surely, like it did happen, slowly but surely her eyesight would have improved, And I think that would have happened. And I think that also can happen with other people, not with just eyesight, but other diseases that they have and pain that they you were talking about chronic pain and everything. I think that can happen with a lot of people because of a change in attitude. They can also have a very good change in the way their health is. I know I feel like mine has improved immensely since I've gotten on the path that I'm on, although I didn't have a lot of problems with my health before, but I feel 100% better health-wise. And I think it's only because of the fact that I've changed the way the path I'm on and the way I perceive life. And I have less stress on myself, and stress is a very big determiner in how your health is. And that's what I wanted to say.
I'm gonna just say that. It's very tricky when you have a physical concern or if you have something else going on to keep your focus on your mind, though. It's very hard, you know, and I think that's what's powerful to me, that something shifted for this young woman where her mind and where her mind was became the most important thing to her. And, other stuff seemed to follow. So, and she had someone, you know, like Jerry Jampolsky there to kind of just hold that space for her, you know, to give her that confidence that, you know, she was on the right track. But, what do you think about this idea of, like, seeing through this physical vision versus, like, an inner vision? What do you think about that? Seema or Margie, would you like to share anything or any?
I definitely think that this whole process is very powerful. The idea, and I've also experienced it myself, maybe not through Course in Miracles, but, throughout life, as I was describing earlier about my own spiritual journey. Death works miracles in terms of your shifting in the way you see things and seeing love in your, as you mentioned, among people around you, in yourself. And it's a very powerful element. And as the Sufis say, that God conceived the world out of love. We were made in that way. I do want to say, though, that I think that, again, going through my own experiences and talking about the spiritual journey for over 20 years now, see healing, physical healing, there's no doubt that they're really interconnected, but I think also that if we focus on healing versus on shifting our attitude, I don't know. See, it's very tricky because I feel there's a grace element, meaning that it can happen. You may get better or you may get better later, meaning that there's no formula or there's no, like, strict scientific, scientific guarantee of this. I think the idea, though, for me and for my journey is to continue to strive for that peace and for love and for truth. And that's what I've found. And I've found, like, there are things that transform in my life and there are things that I'm still working on. So, but for me, I feel that if I get stuck with, well, I have to heal, I have to get better in terms of, you know, get perfect vision, that doesn't help me. That gets me stressed out about getting good vision. So it's more, that's my experience. For me, peace is about finding that within your heart, whether or not you heal physically, and you hope to heal. But it's very tricky. I mean, I think I struggle with that also. But as a human being, obviously. But I think my ideal is to continue to strive for that peace. Not strive and, like, make really effort, seriously, you're really sweating, but, like, strive meaning be intentional about life and be very much like, okay, take responsibility and do things and in a way that is of love. That is. So anyway, that's my... That's just my view of it. It's a very positive story, but that's my angle that I wanted to share.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, sure. No, that's great. That's a great point because I think that's what I wanted to kind of say, that at some point, you know, something happened for her where, yeah, she came in it with this. Well, we don't know, right? We weren't there, but from what the story is shared, obviously this was a big part of her life. But what I'm impressed with is that she really focused on her mind. And so the blindness wasn't just the physical blindness. It was like more this inner sort of darkness also where she wasn't in touch with those aspects, you know, of love, of forgiveness, of peace. And it had been more, you know, ideas of, you know, unforgiveness and resentment. So for me, it feels like they're two separate journeys, but something happened where this inner journey, you know, this inner vision, this peace of mind, that really, and that's really what attitudinal healing is, that we want to focus on that and then be open, as Sima was saying, just to be open to whatever our path would look like, right? You know, for her, I mean,
that's right.
it was many years that she was on this. It wasn't like, okay, you know, she found Jerry and she started to practice something and, you know, the next morning she was healed. You know, it wasn't like that. It was a process. Mm-hmm. And it didn't seem like it was something like that she was focusing on that. Like, she started with that, but then somewhere along, like I said, there was some change. But then it's interesting. It's like, you know, when you let go, like you said, that grace happens. And you know?
Yeah. So, it's very inspiring. Yeah. It's beautiful. And I think, I'm sure it happens a lot. I mean, probably sometimes even within ourselves and we don't realize it. You know, I think that it's definitely, I completely believe it, and I feel that we can experience this change in our life. I mean, there's no doubt. It's transformation. So this inner transformation that leads to outer healing,
Right, right. Okay, so I'm just going to, Margie, we haven't heard from you. Would you like to share anything or any reflections?
Oh, yeah, I think what I took away from it was I was going to say the reminder, but if I needed to be reminded, I mean, if I really, like, embraced it, I need to be reminded of it. But this past year has been a real journey for me. And, you know, finding myself unemployed due to budget cuts after, like, 25, 30 years working, and then not wanting to stay in the field that I've been trained to work in, and deciding to venture out and start my own business, and all with all of it really being unconventional based on how I was taught to live life responsibly, putting a judgment onto it. But I really feel like I followed a path for me, and really amazing things have happened that I've been provided for. I think I've never felt so strongly in my whole life, and, you know, God's love, I'm just going to use that kind of generalized, walking with me, and for most of it, I felt pretty solid with not even questioning it, just, you know, I'm following my intuition. But the times I've been tripped up are when I need some attitudinal healing. It's those thoughts that get in the way. And so, right. And then I'm focused on outward about, oh, no, I'm going to, like, kill too much of my retirement. You know, I should be having a job that brings in a regular paycheck. And so when I start focusing outward on what I don't think I have that I should have for where I'm at in my life, that's when I get tripped up.
Yes.
And when I go within, I'm totally 100% confident and at peace with where I'm at.
Yes. Well, I think you kind of just, you answered your own question in a way. So, you know, there is this wisdom inside us. And, you know, the attitudinal healing is really asking us to kind of keep, as Seema was saying, you know, because when I was reading it in the book, like, you know, So, practicing peace of mind, peace of God, became her single goal, all right? And practicing forgiveness, her single function, and listening to and being directed by her inner voice became her way of experiencing a sense of completion and oneness. So it sounds like you've been sort of doing those things. You've been listening to your inner sense. You've been experiencing joy. You've been feeling, I think you said, you know, the love of God, or right? You've been feeling that presence. And what happens is something happens in our experience on the outer screen. It could be a comment that someone makes, or it could be, like you said, a fear. And it requires a lot of, like, I think Emil at our last thing when we did the practice, Emil talked about, you know, that pause of just stopping and just kind of being aware, you know, just the fact that you're aware that it's when I do this and then I need it, it's like you see that and you know the remedy, you know.
Right.
And it's almost like that's very great just that you're aware. And usually what happens, I think, is, you know, as we do this whole process, you know, usually we become aware a little sooner. But then there's some areas that, you know, we just have a lot of, like you said, judgments around. And I think, like, ideas about work and money and career and providing for oneself and how it should look, you know, there's so much around that from families and cultures and traditions. And it's a big one, right? It's like a big one. So there are lots of layers. And but, you know, I think the beautiful thing about attitudinal healing or any kind of practice that's about healing your mind is it just asks you to just to be aware and then to choose again, you know. And recently I had a conversation with one of my teachers. His name is Bill Free, and he has this beautiful, you know, kind of practice that I'm going to share because maybe it'll be helpful. And he said, you know, whenever you have that sort of, you know, sense, you know, of like a judgment thought or, just a sense that you're not in your joy and you've started to kind of, you know, like you said, worry about something external or whatever it might be, you know, money or retirement or the body or whatever, you know, he said, just think about putting it on the altar, and, you know, the altar could just be in your mind, that place that it's like above you. I kind of see it as it's like above me, and I just put it up there, and I'm just kind of asking my guide or God or spirit or, you know, whatever name works for you, Allah, Jesus, that, you know, just take this. You know, I'm just giving it to you and just deal with it. And if you practice doing it, the minute it comes or very soon, you'll start to experience the shift, you know. You'll just see how it's so powerful. To just recognize it and then to kind of feel like, you know, there's this power within us that has that ability. I kind of think of it as like a vacuum, like it's just going to take it, you know, or it's going to metamorphosize it, or it's going to do whatever is needed, and it's going to give it back to you clean, you know, it's going to come back. So if you've got a judgment around someone, and I've been practicing it, and it's quite interesting that I don't feel like I have to fix it or I have to fix someone or, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I see it, I'm giving it to you. Oh, I see it, I'm giving it to you. And it can almost be a little, it's fun, you know, it's like a little kid, you know, here it is, and, you know, just take care of it. So I like that. So I'm just going to put it out there and, you know, maybe that's something. Because really, the attitudinal healing is like, I'm giving what I think I see is happening because it's not giving me peace of mind, and I'm giving it to you so that you can give me a different way to see it so I can be at peace of mind. And the thing that Bill said, which really stayed with me, is even if you have to do that 1,000 times over, like, it's okay, you know? And I thought, wow, 1,000 times. I mean, that's beautiful. That just gave me permission, you know, like, not to judge myself, you know, it's okay. It's okay. And, you know, and just kind of see it as, like, you know, like, they have this idea, right, of, like, kind of pray without ceasing, right, pray ceaselessly. A lot of traditions talk about that, and I think Mother Teresa is quoted as saying that, or like, or perhaps another saying. But, you know, it really is. It requires that kind of vigilance, and, you know, we can choose. You know, it's almost like it's going to happen that this is going to come up, and then there'll be periods where, you know, you have a lot of peace and you don't feel it. So it's kind of like I kind of see it as like your internal GPS that is going to recalibrate you. You know, it's going to bring you back on your path, but you just have to recognize that you veered off. You know.
Yeah, I really liked what you just said as you were talking about it. You know, people.
Oh, wait, hold on 1 minute. Okay, yeah, Margie, please, yeah, continue.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say that as you were talking, like, over the years, you know, people say, you know, let it go, turn it over to God, let it go, let it go. But that's actually, like, a visual of, like, how to let it go, like, turn it over. And as you were saying it, there was a lot of peace in hearing it.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, to just be like, okay, be like, all right, here, God, take this.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that country song that's out there. I can't remember who sings it, but it's, you know, Jesus, take the wheel. It's like, okay, you got to take this.
Right, right. Yeah, that we don't have to be in charge, even of our healing, you know, our mind healing, or even of this learning, this attitudinal healing, or whatever we're going to call it, even that, you know, we can give it over. Yeah, and there's comfort. There's comfort in that. Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Margie, that you wanted to say? Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for,
Thank you.
Okay. So I think Emma wanted to say something. So, okay, hold on. Unmute. Okay, Emil, did you want to say something?
Yes, I did. I just wanted to say one thing.
Yeah.
The story was fine, and it was it's very true, and it's very true that you can heal yourself in a lot of cases. But the fact is that seeing that everyone in this world, even though we're connected, but because we have a form, we seem to be on our own path at times, and you can't judge what's happening in your life, the good things or bad things, mm-hmm. by the way other people's lives are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like Margie said that people were telling that people mentioned to her that her career wasn't, or thinking about her career wasn't going the way she thought. The way she grew up and everything, and I was thinking about that, and I thought to myself, well, you can't judge your career or the way you're doing things, your success or your failures, by the way other people have success and failures.
Right.
And that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, so actually I'm going to unmute Margie and see if... Margie, did you want to say anything to what just Emil just...
No, I just want to say thank you. I needed to hear that. So thank you.
Okay. All right. Let me Seema, so I know that career thing had been coming up on your end,
yeah,
as you were saying that.
Yeah.
So did you want to make any response to either Margie or Emil, what they just
yeah,
shared?
No, I think Emil is absolutely right. I think it does take a lot of courage to just sit and you know, be with God, be with Spirit, and just understand that what you know, you, I mean, whenever I pray or I listen, I want to know what my purpose is. Not so much, you know, usually you want to end up in a career, meaning earning money from it, but ultimately it's, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do here? And I think it takes a lot of courage to sit and listen and then be open and act on it. And as Margie was saying, when you sit alone, you can really, it's much easier to do that. You understand. But then there are voices, as you know, we all were saying, that we have to resist, and not resist, we just have to let them be. We have to focus back on our peace and what our truth is. I find that very helpful, what Emil said, not to judge yourself depending on what others' view of what their career is like, because we do each have our own path, and I feel like we're here for a unique purpose, and we have to find that. And whatever it is, it's fine at that moment, as long as we said earlier, that you're at peace, that you continue to see that you're with God, you're with peace, and you're with love. I feel like that's the most important thing, even if you are just, if you're unemployed, if you're at home, and that's fine. But if you continue to be at peace and to continue to call to God and your higher self, that's the most important work we can do. At least as being, as I really enjoyed listening to both Emil and Margie, and I do feel connected to that. Just open. I'm just open, right?
And I had a friend of mine who lives out on the West Coast, and she was kind of at this place where she was trying to figure out what she wanted to do, and she did a lot of different things. And she said she said, you know, I want to be at a place where I feel a lot of love and I feel a lot of joy and peace. Mm-hmm. Like she said, I have no idea what it looks like or whatever, mm-hmm. but peace, love, and joy, like that's mm-hmm. what I want. And she was volunteering somewhere, and it turned out that she was enjoying it. Like it was work she was really enjoying. It was working. Actually, it was working for these two teachers. She was volunteering with them, Bill Free and Lisa Natoli. And then and it ended up being that became her job. You know, they offered her a job.
Wow.
You know, and so, you know, so it's so funny how things can happen. I think the important thing is that, you know, we're just honest with whatever we're feeling, and we're willing to kind of, like, you know, ask for help where we need to, and just to kind of, like, you know, like I said, as I was reading before, that, you know, practicing the peace of God, practicing that, mm-hmm. is the peace of mind. How can that become so, like, our goal? You know, every day I get up, and my goal, so I like what Jerry Jampolsky, maybe I'll kind of, you know, conclude with that, but he would say, you know, we usually get up in the morning and we always say we have a to-do list, right? I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to go there. How about if we had a to-be list? You know, how do I want to be in the world? How do I want to be? Mm-hmm. And we let that just, you know, I want to be happy, I want to be joyful, I want to be, you know, just, you know, in that place. And that that could just be a nice way to kind of get into that kind of energy place. And then from there, you know, just see. Mm-hmm. Just see. Because often, wherever we are, there's some element often, if we're not at peace, like I almost see myself like we need to be lifted. We need to come out of that. Like Einstein would say, the problem can't be resolved at the level it was, you know, it occurs at, that you have to be lifted. And I think that's where, you know, this attitudinal healing is to kind of lift you to say, okay, let me step back, or, you know. So I thought that's also another, you know, another way to look at things. And, you know, I also, you know, I think we have to say this, and Emil kind of alluded to it, that wherever we are, you know, is perfect. I mean, this call, even though it began a certain way, you know, there was another person on and that person isn't, and we are, and all of it is just what was shared and who's listening and who needed to hear what. You know, I kind of see that. So everything is perfect. It's just letting yourself be shown that. And once we can let ourselves be shown that, then usually the other steps follow, you know. But it's almost like we have to first just, you know, just stop and kind of be lifted. And then, you know, like you want to get to the top of the mountain, and where you are, you just see the mountain. You don't see anything on the other end. But if you let yourself be taken up, you're like, oh, my goodness, it's all of this. And I didn't even know it was always right there. So, you know, just some of the thoughts that came to my mind. So I just wanted to put them out there. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have, like, about a minute. I'm just going to unmute everyone. And I don't know, if maybe we can conclude just by everyone maybe saying a word or something that they're feeling or something they want to share. It could be a couple of words, and maybe we'll stop at that.
I just want to thank everyone. It's just been really nice to be able to listen to everyone.
Great. Okay.
I want to say this. The philosophers say that wherever we are, that's where we belong at the present, at that moment, to learn what we're supposed to learn in life. And that's all I wanted to do.
Thank
that's
you.
That's great, Emil. That's great. Okay, Margie?
Yeah, I just feel really peaceful.
Okay. Good. Okay, well, thank you, everyone. And once again, I don't know, it seems like things corrected themselves, but we got out to a bit of a not-so-steady start, but okay, here we are. Thank you. I will, you know, this has been recorded, so I will put it up on the website at some point. Someone's going to help me to do that. And it will be there in case, you know, you feel like you want to go back again or you want to share it with someone else. And hopefully I'll see some of you, or, you know, see in quotes, but I'll see you with my inner vision, right? So I'll see you with my inner vision next week, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Good night, ladies.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night.
Bye.